It's good to see each one of you this evening. I've seen better days and I've seen worse. Reminds me of something else somebody said, life's not fair, but it's still good. And it's good to be here with you this night, although it's not the most pleasant outside. We won't talk too long tonight, but we do want to talk about a subject that the Bible talks about, scriptural subject, and therefore we need to learn about it, but it's not a good thing. We're talking about the sin of laziness. The Bible talks about that quite a bit. One of the dangers that we face today, I think, of modern life in rearing is rearing children to be lazy. You can just not do anything and they can turn out that way. Living in the suburbs, there aren't any cows to milk. There's not any wood to chop or gardens to hoe. Much like that, maybe a few, but not many. Dishes are done by a dishwasher. Clothes are done by a clothes washer and a dryer, dried by a dryer. And as a result, many young people are reared without good work habits. And they're taught, a lot of times by default, to waste their time watching TV or listening to their iPod or their phone or texting or whatever else may be going on, and going on recreational outings and things like that. Not anything wrong per se about those. It's the amount of time we spend to them and whether we're doing anything else that is productive. But any time some are told to do something, a howl of protest a lot of times is registered. And because of that, they learn to grow up to be lazy. And sometimes we get so used to being entertained that anything that's not entertainment, we really get bored. Boredom. I'm bored is one of the most used expressions today that we hear. Easy to get bored when you're used to being entertained. But many who have been reared without good work habits have become adults with no ambition and willing to live on welfare. And content to do that. Others hold jobs, but they have an attitude that the company owes me a living. They owe me something, and corporate production is low, and the cost of goods increases, and nothing good comes out of that. Some national woes could be cured if we had good work habits. And so that's something to consider. But we want to also point out that laziness is a sin. Remember in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 25 in the parable of the talents, in particular what the Lord says to the one talent man who went out and buried his talent. He didn't do anything. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast thine own. So he didn't bother to try to develop in anything that could be worthwhile. He just buried it, and that was it. And there are a lot of things that keep people from working. We're going to talk about some of those tonight. The book of Proverbs is a gold mine on this subject, and in fact on a lot of subjects. The place to go is the book of Proverbs, because it contains so many wise sayings, and a proverb is a mind sticker. It condenses to a few words an important message. And so we see that in a lot of these. The idea of laziness appears 33 times in the book of Proverbs, and it's always to condemn it. Apparently, God saw laziness as a danger facing young people because it's often addressed to the young. And so that's the time to do something about it, not let it develop, not let it happen. And so when we talk about these things, there are many reasons that people won't work, but the book of Proverbs calls attention to these. And one of those is too much sleep. We're instructed to go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and so shalt thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So it warns about too much sleep in that passage. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so does the slothful man upon his bed. So just as the door turns on the hinges, the slothful man just turning over all the time and not content to move or to do anything else. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 26 and in verse 14, I believe it is, and most of our verses will be coming from the book of Proverbs tonight. Chapter 26 and verse 14 is the verse we just quoted about the door turning upon its hinges. It's in chapter 19 and verse 15 that we read this. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Well, he doesn't work, so he doesn't get any food. And the words that are used to describe this idea, I don't know that the word lazy appears anywhere in the Bible, but there's slothfulness and there's the sluggard. And those two go together. The sluggard is what he is because he's slothful. Also in chapter 20 and in verse 13, we read this. 13 says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Well, most of us like to sleep. I guess it's okay to like it, just don't love it so much that it keeps you from doing anything productive, keeps you from working. And sometimes young people are allowed to sleep late in the morning, drag themselves into the den where the TV is, and lay around all day long, and when night comes, they're ready to party. And then the next day, the whole thing starts over again because they got their days and nights mixed up, and that's a bad situation to get into. Another thing that keeps people from working is too much talking. And the Bible warns against that in chapter 14. And in verse 23, the wise man calls attention to the tendency of wasting one's time in talking. And he wrote these words, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Penury means extreme poverty. And so if all you do is talk, you don't get anything done productive, then it's going to lead itself to poverty, even extreme poverty. And when some are left with a job to do, they don't get the job done because they've wasted their time talking. And so a lot of times the boss doesn't like people gathering around the water fountain because they tend to stay there and talk or gathering in places where that goes on. So whether they're on the phone or whether it's person to person, a lot of times too much talk can keep people from working. Not wrong to talk. That's where the good judgment comes in that the wise man talks about. Some of these things are not wrong in and of themselves, but they lead to an abuse when they're extreme. And these are the things we're talking about tonight. And so, no motivation. In chapter 19 of Proverbs and in verse 24, he talks about some who weren't motivated. And he says this, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. He's so lazy, got his hand in there, he won't even take it out to feed himself. Well, that's some biblical sarcasm that's being used there. And we find that a lot in the Old Testament, especially in the Proverbs. We find sarcasm, and sometimes sarcasm is good. You got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove to know how and when to use it. But there is a time and place for it. In chapter 26, we're going to read another verse, verse 15, that says, the slothful, it's almost identical verse, the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. So he grieves at having to move his hand. He's so lazy. And so he's really being depicted in an extreme situation here. But why should some be motivated? Why should they? Well, their parents buy them anything and everything they want. So there's no motivation there. They've never learned to earn anything. And they learn to wait for somebody to hand it to them on a silver platter. And if you grow up that way, and then finally you're on your own, you don't know about working. And that's going to lead to poverty in most cases. And often does. We have more people in poverty today than this country's had in its history. And a lot of it's because they haven't been taught about work and haven't been taught how to use their time and how to keep from wasting time and don't have any motivation. So that's another thing. There's something else that involved here, and that's procrastination. The idea that you should never do today what can be put off till tomorrow. And so we often do that. And that's a real temptation to all of us because a lot of times if there's something unpleasant, we want to put it off and not do it. Well, we want to look at some traits of a lazy person. The Bible talks about those too. One of them is that he is full of excuses. He's full of excuses. Proverbs 26 and verse 16, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. In other words, when it comes to getting out of responsibilities, he's a genius. He's a genius. He can find all kinds of excuses not to do what needs to be done. And we're going to look at some of those. And you give him a job to do, and he can give you two for not doing it. And he can make it sound good and justify himself. He may say it's too cold or too hot to work. In fact, in Proverbs 20 and in verse 4, that's what he's depicted as saying. Verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Well, too cold to plow. And at other times it may be too hot. Anyway, whichever it is, it's too much of that. And so he's justifies himself in not working. And although everybody else is working in the same weather, he'll decline working for fear of being hurt. And we see that in Proverbs 22 and in verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. And so that keeps him going out to work, because there's a lion out there somewhere. And you have that idea repeated in the Proverbs. You have it again in chapter 26, I believe it is, and verse 13. The slothful man says, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. And so that keeps him going out because there's work being done out there, and he doesn't want to do that. And although the chances of his being injured are remote, he continues to latch on to those kind of excuses. Also, he wastes what he has. In the 12th chapter of Proverbs, and in verse 27, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. And so he's too lazy to cook it. The lazy man, he won't even take care of what he has. His laziness will allow him even to let things deteriorate. He doesn't keep them up. And we have that described in chapter 24 of Proverbs, verses 30 and 31. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And so he didn't fix anything. When it was broken, he just let it go. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Proverbs 18 and verse 9. And so he's a great waster. He doesn't see the value in anything. He doesn't respect property, certainly not if somebody else is providing for it. And so he mistreats it. And so he has that trait. Also, we want to look at some natural fruits of laziness. The Bible talks about those as well. We've already mentioned that laziness brings poverty. And there's a guy that's kind of lazy. Proverbs 6, verse 11, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And you've got those same two verses mentioned again in chapter 24. You have several verses that are repeated in the book of Proverbs, maybe just a slight variation on the way it was said the first time. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Proverbs 10, verses 4 and 5. So again, these are verses that are kind of addressed or about the young. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. He can want all he wants, but if he's not willing to do anything, then he's not going to have. In the 19th chapter of Proverbs, and in verse 15, it says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. So have that warning. And in chapter 20 and in verse 4, the sluggard will not plow, we already read that, but he won't plow by reason of the cold. In chapter 23 and 21, I guess it is. Verse 21 says, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. So if he's going to be drowsy all the time, he's lazy and he won't wake himself up, he's going to have consequences come his way. Well, it brings poverty. We pointed that out. Also, it puts one under tribute. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. So those who work hard prosper. The Bible teaches that. And they move into positions of authority. Those who are lazy become poor, and they move into positions of subordination. And they won't do anything about it. So or at the mercy of others. Also, laziness leads to unfulfilled desires. In chapter 21 of Proverbs, in verses 24 and 25, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. So just because a man is lazy and poor, maybe, doesn't mean that he doesn't want anything. It simply means he can't buy what he wants. He can't do that, and so consequently he's dissatisfied because of his unfulfilled desires. He can't have the things he wants. Remember the quote Uncle Remus said, lazy folks' stomachs don't get tired. Well, that's true. They don't. But let's notice some consequences of laziness. We've talked about some of the natural fruits, and some of those may overlap. But as we look at the consequences of laziness, and I kind of like that tweet there, I was called lazy today. I almost responded. It brings shame. Chapter 10 and verse 5 of Proverbs. Chapter 10 and verse 5 says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. So again, addressed to a son. And that's one of the consequences that comes to him because of that. And so as we look at these consequences, who can be proud of a lazy son? Well, nobody is. Also, he becomes obnoxious to others. Proverbs 10 and verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Vinegar to the teeth, that's kind of an unpleasant thought. That's not comfort food at all, is it? Vinegar to the smoke to the eyes, what can be more repulsive than getting smoke in your eyes? If you're out burning leaves or something or logs and it gets in your eyes, that's really a repulsive thing. Well, the sluggard is that way to people who are depending on him to get something done, and you're really depending on him heavily to get that done, and he may or may not reach his destination if you send him on an errand. He may get sidetracked and go off somewhere else. He may just think in his mind, I'm not going to do it. I'll tell him I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to do it. And that always goes against the grain when you're dependent on somebody, and then you find out they can't be depended upon. And that's what this verse is talking about. He becomes obnoxious to others. And certainly a man who hires an employee that is lazy will find him to be obnoxious, and he'll soon fire him because of that. Another consequence of laziness is gossip. You got idle time, and it's going to be filled with something. A person's time is going to be filled with something. He can make it something worthwhile. And if he doesn't make it worthwhile, it's probably going to be worthless. It may even cause problems. And so in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13, and withal they learn also to be idle, going about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not, because they got too much free time on their hands. And so they're going to cause problems with that. And we've all read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, if any will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear of some that walk among you disorderly, that work not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. And so with quietness, that means don't be a busybody, and work. And so we spend our time working. We don't have time for those things that may lead to other problems, like is being warned about in these two verses. And that's a solution there for poverty, but most nations won't try it, but if a man will not work, I know that there's some people who cannot work, and they should be objects of our compassion. But if a person will not work, he just wills not to do it, then he's talked about in this verse. If he won't work, neither let him eat. We want to talk now about some virtues of diligence, and the Bible talks about those in contrast to being lazy. The wise man instructed men to be diligent in their work, and here's some of the things that are said about the diligent worker. And one of them is that he is self-disciplined. We saw that in the admonition to go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. And so if you ever watch a colony of ants work and you see how little a piece of something they're moving, but they work at it and they'll carry it a long way. And there's a whole stream of them. And they can do all kinds of things you would never believe. You can check it out sometime on the internet, and you can see all the workings of all the tunnels and everything that they dig, and how they have their own highway system and all of that. And so there's a lot to be learned from the creatures that God created. We may think of an ant as worthless, but the Bible doesn't say they're worthless. It says you can learn lessons from them, and therefore we ought to do that. Also, the ant works without a boss. He works without a boss, watching his every move, and so does a diligent man. He doesn't wait till the boss is gone or turns his back and then does something he shouldn't be doing or go find a place to lay down and take a nap and sleeping on the job and all of that. But he is a self-disciplined person. He works whether he's being watched or not. That's the kind of person he is. Also, his desires motivate him. In the 16th chapter of Proverbs, in verse 26, he that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. So he sees something that he wants, and he works in order to obtain it. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way he ought to be. And he's motivated by that. Another thing, he comes to prosperity instead of poverty. And we noticed in Proverbs 10 and verse 4, where it says, he becometh poor and dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. So if we're diligent, and rich doesn't mean millionaire necessarily, but simply means we have an abundance. We're not having to do without. And we're able to meet our obligations. We're able to provide for our own. So the natural fruit of hard work is prosperity. And the worker that produces is generally paid more. He's generally given raises. And he's advances in position more often than the lazy worker does. And that's as it should be. And another thing, he has good mental health. A poet once said, by the name of Ironquill, "Work brings its own relief. He who most idle is has most of grief." And that's true. An idle mind is the devil's playground, we often say. And he brings grief upon himself. So as we kind of draw this subject to a conclusion here, we want to point out that rather than looking at work as if it were a curse from God, we need to understand that it was part of God's plan from the beginning. The original plan was for man, this was before the curse, to dress and keep the garden. So man had work to do before the curse ever came on him. The curse was on the ground, and it brought forth weeds and thorns and thistles and all that. But man was to dress and keep the garden prior to the curse that sin brought into the world. And we're privileged to have a job and to be able to earn a living and to do something productive. And that's a good thing. But one of the methods of punishing criminals, at least used to be, was to put him in prison where he has nothing to do day after day. And that's considered to be punishment, not a bed of ease. But kind of that's changing too. Prisoners have rights and you can't violate them. And to be able to work is a blessing which God has given to us. And we ought to utilize it. And we ought to consider ourselves fortunate that we're not physically or mentally disabled and unable to work to the point that we can't even have a job. That's really unfortunate when that happens. So this is our study tonight on the subject of laziness, a Bible subject probably that we don't talk about as much as we should. And we need to work both in our jobs and also in the vineyard of the Lord, as we often sing. And there's work to do, work on every hand, and work for the night is coming. A lot of admonitions about working in the Bible and toiling. This evening, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you ought to want to be a Christian. I can't think of any reason, any justifiable reason why a person would not become a Christian. But a lot of times in a person's mind, he thinks he's found justification for not becoming one, at least for the time being. And that's unfortunate because we don't have a monopoly on time. And things often happen when we're least expecting them. Death happens when we're least expecting it a lot of times. We can see that from reading the obituaries in the paper. Not only that, but other things can happen that we aren't expecting and can bring terrible misfortune on us, and sometimes things that are almost ungetoverable. And not only that, the judgment may come. We know the Lord is coming back. We have his promise on that. He hasn't told us when, but it depicts it in the Bible as coming like a thief in the night, meaning when he's least expected. So we ought to always be ready and be prepared. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, why don't you do that tonight by repenting and being baptized into Christ? That'll make you a Christian, nothing more and nothing less and nothing else. That's all we try to get people to be. It's just Christians. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, will you please come as we stand and sing the hymn Brother Gary has selected?